You are listening to NYC Radio Live. My name is David Ellenbogen. So wonderful to have you with me. Welcome especially to new listeners. We put up a video from the last podcast, a little excerpt of the interview with George Porter. And this has never happened to me. It actually went viral. So it went from 10,000 views to 200,000 or 300. I don't know what it is, but a lot of people are liking it and sharing it. And that's wonderful. Actually, I hope all those people listen to the whole interview, because the really deep advice, the stuff that I really take with me, are just kind of the stuff that he said about life and coming from the heart, keeping your shine. You know, he speaks really eloquently about how not to get drawn into bitterness. He said you waste more energy being mad than you do being smart. It's deep. Anyway, welcome to those listeners. There's 150 other shows with all the best musicians I've ever been lucky enough to meet with from all corners of the world, so I hope you investigate it more. This was a great one. I think the same week, V. Selvaganesh, who, according to John McLaughlin, who is accepted to be one of the greatest guitarists in the world, Selvaganesh is the keeper of Konakol, which is the South Indian system of rhythm. It's one of the most developed systems of rhythm, very mathematical, kind of mystical. And his father is T.H. Viku Vinyakaram. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I really struggle with that. Vinayakram. I think that's T.H. Viku Vinayakram. Who is part of the group Shakti, which absolutely opened the ears of all of the West to the magic of Indian music of the highest level, with Zakir Hussain, El Shankar, and John McLaughlin playing guitar. It's just absolutely outrageous, outrageous music. Selvaganesh is Viku's son, and he took over in the band. He's the kanjira player, and just one of the most amazing musicians I've ever encountered with. He came to my apartment, and we did this interview, which aired on the New York City radio at WKCR last night. And amazing guy. We got to jam and everything, man. Brilliant. Open soul. Arun Ramamurthy, the great violinist, was on hand. Later, Michael Gam from Rocket Massive came and did some playing. So it was a real honor, and we'll just hear a sample of this man's music, and then we'll get into a conversation with T.H. Viku Vinayakram's son, the scion of that incredible legacy. And this is Selvaganesh. Check out the album, and then with U. Srinivas, the amazing man, mandolin player. Check that out. And thank you so much for listening. We got another one in the can with the California Honey Drops. That's going to be amazing. You're going to love that. All right, peace and love. Thank you.
Oh.
All right. You are listening to NYC Radio Live. We are very excited in our very own home studio, if you can even call it that, if you can even call it a studio or a home. We have the great maestro, Selva Ganesh Vinatkaram. Is that all right?
It's fine, but as long as you pronounce Selva Ganesh properly,
okay.
That's enough.
Let's do it again. The great artist Selva Ganesh is here, one of the foremost masters of conical and on his instrument, the conjura. He's got some instruments with him today. He got world fame probably initially touring with the Remember Shakti group and blowing everybody away. And we're really happy to have him here. So thanks for coming through. What an honor.
It's my pleasure. It's really a pleasure.
Yeah. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your journey? I know that your father and even earlier in your family, there's a history of great maestros.
It's a huge story, but I can just do it in a shorter version. Like, you know, we have a school. Like, you know, my grandfather who started that school in late 60s, like, you know. And we teach for the kids. That's the basic. And then we teach for free. That's my grandfather's wish to do it. So when I born, like, you know, when I was really kid, like, you know, 6 months baby, my grandfather used to keep me on his lap and then teaching rhythm. So I just grew up like that. And then when I was three, the first instrument which my grandfather gave it to me was a conjura. Because kids, like, you know, it's nice to have it. Like, you know, it's very simple. So, and we used to do a lot of demonstration, like, you know, about Indian, South Indian rhythm to the government people. If some foreign delegates comes out into Chennai and then the government calls up my school, I mean, my father, my grandfather's school, said, can you do a demonstration with the kids so that people will get to know what is South Indian rhythm? So he does it. And I'm the one to play the conjura. It's the smallest instrument. And then, like, and I'm like a 3 year kid, and then I just play just the rhythm. I don't play it, but, like, you know, the basics, I just hit it with that. And so I was like center attraction for the kids who is playing, like, you know. So that's how I got into playing. And when I was turned up into five, everybody wants to be a mridangam player, because in South India, mridangam is a main instrument, like, you know.
Right.
In North India, only the tabla. If you see classical concert, just the tabla, right, accompanying instrument.
Sure.
It's like as a percussion. You don't see much of any other, then you call it folk. Mm-hmm. Dolki, dolak, or whatever, it's all in folk. But the main classical percussion instrument is tabla. But in South India, it's not like that. We have mridangam, ganjira, gatam, mohorsing, konakol, githu. There are like six percussion instruments to be accompanied for a classical concert. And main artists can choose what they wanted. But mridangam has to be main. And we are like a pickles. You can use it. Either mango pickle or like, you know, whatever. So we are like that. Like, you know, bad. It depends. Mostly ganjira is be used for the, like, instrumental. Like, you know, so they need something. Like, you know, for the vocals. Some, like, they prefer to have gatam, which is like a tune. So that, like, you know, when they have more of a tuned instrument, so they can still, like, you know, get that vibe, and then they're on the same scale singing, whatever. So maybe, like, you know, it's all begins of depends to the frequency. So they were using it. So come back to that. So I want to be a mridangam player, because I want, like, it's mridangam is must. So I want to be, like, you know, I get more concert. Like, and I'm like a main percussion player. So everybody wants to be a mridangam player. So I wanted to be a mridangam player. But my granddad, he always gives me conjira for the demonstration, and, like, you know, even the class, everything. Okay, you play conjira. I said, no, give me a mridangam. I want to play mridangam. Like, you know, and I want to be a mridangam player. And he says, no, play conjira. Because he can't force any of his students, but he can force his own grandson, right? So that's how I got into conjira. And he was like, you know, he's the one who taught my dad, and then he gave a gatam to my dad. Like, you know, and that time he said, see, we don't have much gatam player, so you play this. So there is two things. One thing is you get the concert quickly, because there is no much gatam player. So you get more concert, you get more way to play. Second thing is to keep this tradition on. If nobody plays this instrument, so that this instrument will die. Wow. So keep the tradition on. So that's how my dad got into gatam. And now everyone knows, like, if you say gatam, that's Bhikkhu Vinayakaram. Like, you know, that's the credit which, like, you know, goes to my grandfather. because he can vision it. He can foresee what's going to happen in future. So come back to me, like, you know, he said Ganjira. So again, I was like, okay, come on, give me Mridangam. Like, you know, I want to be a Mridangam player. And then I made up my mind, I said, okay, at least I can be a Ghatam player. Like, you know, like father, like son. Then my grandfather said, no, play Ganjira, Ganjira, Ganjira. Then I started getting used to it. For example, how when you go to a doctor, you say, I have a headache. They give you medicine for a week. And then you ask him, what happens after the week? You'll get used to it. Mm. Simple. It's like that. So I got used to it. So like, you know, even I don't expect. So whenever the class, whenever the demonstration, I just go take Ganjira on my own. I come and sit because I know I'm going to be a Ganjira player. Then I started liking this instrument. Then he explained me. See, same thing. There is no much of player. Like, you know, there were only two, like, you know, legendary Ganjira player when I grew up that time. One was Harishankar and one was Nagarajan. So they are like a monster. But they are the only two Ganjira players, like, you know, who are doing. Other Ganjira players, okay. But these are like, you know, giants. So he said, listen, if you play good, you will go and join them. So you'll be the third one and you'll get more concert. So that's the way, like, you know, it sparkles. Like, you know, oh, maybe I get more concert. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, I got it in. Then my journey started like that. And then now I really feel it. I'm so glad and happy that I took a Ganjira. There are two reasons. One reason is Ganjira is like, you know, in a different place. That's all okay. But if I would have been a Mridangam player or if I would have been a Ghatam player, I wouldn't get a chance to play with my dad and Zakir Bhai.
Wow.
Listen. So because for Zakir Bhai, Ghatam means only Vikhu. He never used even his son or whatever. But Ganjira player, he said, okay, like, why don't you come? That's it. Right. So that's how I got into Remember Shakti. That's how I got into Masters of Percussion. That's how I got into different concert and different level. It's because of that instrument.
Right.
So I really have to salute my grandfather who chose it and who can foresee, who can, like, you know, have a vision. Okay, what's going to happen? So that's my journey.
Yeah, and that the physically knowing how to play that instrument, that all came from your grandfather. He knew
basics. Basics, I got it from my grandfather, but the advance from my uncle. Uh-huh. Because my uncle, who used to play with El Subramaniam, Dr. El Subramaniam, so he is a Mridangist, and he plays the Ganjira, he plays the Ghatam, and he has like minimum 300 students in America who follows his thing, like, you know. So he's my guru, he's my teacher, who taught me the Ganjira.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, with your music, we're talking about the instruments, but the essence is always the same. That comes back to the tonico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the essence is the same. But the thing is, everyone has their own way of applying it and then approach, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I started playing with the fusion music, like, you know, because in the beginning, and one good thing I really have to say, like, I was so fortunate and God was so nice to me. When I started playing, when I was 13, 14, I started accompanying for the legendary musicians like Dr. Balamurli Krishna, Hema Subbalakshmi, Shamanguli Srinivasaiyar, like, you know, Lalguru Jayaraman on the violin, and Veena Balachandar, all top legendary musicians. Like, they are like, not even, I just can't say they're legendary, they're more than that. And even they're like a god for the rhythm. Like, you know, for the violin, one of the best violinist in this world for South Indian Carnatic music. It's one of them is like Lalguri Jayaraman. So I got an opportunity to accompany him. And that was a learning process. Like, you know, when I play with them, there was a top Mridangam player who plays with them. So it's not just a concert. It's a learning. Because when I was 13, like, you know, when I was 13, 14, I started accompanying with them. So a lot of learning process was happened. So after that, when I started playing fusion, and then, like, you know, when I got into different world, like, you know, different world of music, then I have to adapt something to, like, you know, accommodate that place, right? So, for example, when I'm here, I can't speak my language, but I can express my feeling through different language. But still, I'm talking about, like, my thing, but the language is different, right? Same thing, when I got into a fusion, like, and I said, like, wow, it's like, I have to change something. Like, you know, but it's me, it's my instrument, but I have to change something where to adapt this or to go with you. So it's like a fusing, like, you know, something with. So I found a different way of approach for my instrument. And then I started playing like that. And then when I got a chance to do a tour with one of the greatest drummer who used to be a drummer for Frank Zappa, Terry Bozzio. So when I got in, he has like 100 instruments. And then I have only one Ganjira. So I have to do something to, like, you know, play with him. Like, you know, and then when he saw me, he says, like, okay, wow, I know Silver Ganesh, Bhikkhu's son. Okay, what do you play? Kanjira. Where's your instrument? Okay, that's it? I said, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, did you see my kit? I said, yeah, I just saw you. Like, you know, you have 10 bass drum, 20, 30 toms, 3-4 snares, and 60 cymbals. Like, you know, he's like more than 100 instruments on stage. Like, you know, but that's the challenge for me, because I'm just sitting next to him only with the ganjira, and he was playing, and we both are playing together. And then immediately he comes, that was 94, 95, right? Okay. And then he says, I'm going to play 7. I said, wow. Because I was expecting drummers means, boom, especially to rock drummer. Right. What do you expect? So, but he was amazing on 7. He was keeping 7 on his bass drum and then improvising on top. That made me something like, you know, wow. And then I have to do something similar to that. Like, you know, I have to match them. That was on stage, I got something new, which I got it and I applied it. And that was my turning point, like where I have shifted the ganjira playing in a different way, different approach. So that's what it is.
So you kind of discovered, I mean, you had it rooted in the South exactly. Indian tradition, but now being that circumstances are different, you're really finding a new route,
exactly.
route for the instrument.
Exactly, yeah.
Since a lot of people in the West don't know a lot about South Indian music, I wonder if you could demonstrate some
I can, but I wouldn't say like that, because if you see now, any drummers, they do konaku.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even like in a YouTube, you just go on to YouTube, a lot of drummers. And I can name it a few who are famous, like Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he does the konaku. So maybe a few of them doesn't know it comes from South India, but it's like, you know, konaku. They know it, and then they do that. So,
right.
So South Indian music is somehow, it's like, you know, it's there in the blood now, in every drummers,
right?
Especially. And my thing is to bring it to that. The konaku is not only just for the rhythm player or the drummer or the percussionist. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it can be the guitarist. You can be a pianist, or you can be a singer. If you learn this konaku, it'll be really helpful to, like, you know, go with the rhythm concept of rhythm in South India, which really helps a lot. And one of the example for that is, like, which I did a DVD with the jazz maestro Joe McLaughlin.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he was explaining how the konaku helps him,
mm-hmm.
like how to compose it, how it helped to compose the songs, like, you know, from Mahavishnu. Just imagine a lot of Mahavishnu, because if you go on to that DVD, which we did it together, explaining about the konaku and then lesson, and he was playing all the pieces and then saying it in konaku how it worked. So the konaku, it's like a common language. It can be a common language for any kind of music. Just to, for example, 2 weeks back, I was in San Francisco State University to do a workshop and then to play with a few jazz musicians. And I'm not from jazz community. And for me, jazz, I don't know. I know, I can feel it, I can play it, but not the structures. Jazz as a pure structure, like how we have it in Carnatic music, right? It's like they have a structure. But when I got in, he says, like, you know, I have a piece, the head goes, he played it, and then immediately he said, it's like nothing but ta ding gi na tum ta. Ding gi na tum ta, ding gi na tum ta, ding gi na tum ta, ka di mi ta, ka di mi ta. So it became a common language between a jazz musician and a Carnatic musician. He somehow he knows this konaku, and then he got it, which is a 6-8 beat. 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4-5-6-7, 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4-5-7, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, bah. He would have said that like that, but he somehow wants to convey, because he said, okay, Indian. Even if he was explaining to the other drummer also, who is from like in a different part of the world, but he was saying that thing, you know, he understood, he played it. So it became a common language. So konaku really helps a lot to communicate. You don't have to explain, okay, even if you don't speak my language, you just say, takadimi, takadimi, takadakadu, how are you? Tadinginatun, tadinginatun. I'm happy, happy, happy. Soon it will become a language, like, you know, and it's a beautiful communicating a language which can, like, you know, go on both of us. So it's like that. So for example, 16 beat or 8 beat, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 2, 3, 4, 7, 2, 3, 4, 8, 2, 3, 4, 1. So this is the Adi Talam, we call it. It's a 8 beat cycle, and each beat has a 4 count. And we say taka dimmi taka dimmi taka dim taka dimmi taka dimmi taka dimmi taka dimmi taka dimmi taka. So it taka dimmi. So my grandfather, he used to do like this. He says, okay, I'll give you 8 taka dimmi. But you can't say 8 taka dimmi. You have to do something, puzzle it. So anything you wanna do it, but you have only 8 taka dimmi. So I said, okay, 8 taka dimmi. I can say 3 taka dimmi, and I can split like this, 3 taka dimmi and 5 taka dimmi. So 3 plus 5 is 8. But I can't say taka dimmi, taka dimmi, taka dimmi, because when I say 3, I have to say 3. So instead of 3 4s, I can do 4 3s, which is an equivalent value. Okay? And then instead of 4 5s, I can say 5 4s. Good. Same value. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, which is an equivalent value. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4. Instead of that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's equivalent value. So this is how we play. So he says, okay, now you say it with the talam. So first, how do I split it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So now I have to do that other version. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 2, 3, 5, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, ta. If I say it with my syllable, takita, 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 taka, takita, taka, takita, taka, takita, 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 taka, takita, taka, takita, taka, takita, taka, takita, ta. Just say only the first thing, takita, 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 takita. Just say ta, 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 ta. So ta, 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 ta. Just imagine just the simple taka dimmi. It went into 3 and 5. And then when you mute the second and third, it became a different groove. And if you hit it somewhere else, just with 1/8 taka dimmi, you can do thousands and no limit for that. Like you can just go on like that. So this is a taste of South Indian concept.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hand it over to Arun Ramamurthy. He's a great local.
I got to say about Arun also, I mean, he's the very finest violin player and comes from a great tradition. And we had a great time in India, and he played with our group. It's called Arka, and it's more of rock fusion. So I can put it in a different way, yeah, whatever it is. But we have a music, okay? And he played it. He was an amazing player. Within a day, I think he got everything. The reason why I'm saying is because he belongs to a South Indian music. When he hears it, he puts in on his own style of doing it. He get it everything in a day because he just got. I called him one day before. I just come to know that he's in Bangalore. So I called him one day before. I said, "Can you play it? Because like it's nice to do it." And he said, "Yeah, can you send me the music?" I just sent him in a day before. And when he got in, I thought like maybe he will get few pieces, but he just got everything online and he played it. Maybe it's because of the South Indian technology.
Maybe. Well, with that intro, here is Arun Ramamurthy.
Thank you so much, and it was really amazing to play with your group.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
The music was beautiful, and the thing I love about it is to be rhythmically intricate, but also stay musical, is, I think, the challenge, and I think it can be very much a challenge.
Yep.
So I was going to ask, when you do compose music, how much of that is, are you thinking about melody? Are you thinking about melody when you're composing the rhythmic side of it? Do they go hand in hand? Does one come first and then say, okay, well, we'll try to fit a raga or some melody over that? Or do they happen at the same time, simultaneously?
It depends. Like, you know, what mood of I'm composing it. So everyone knows about that. And then, but as a rhythm player, the first thing comes to me is like a beat, what I want to do. So if, like, you know it, the band which we had, nothing in 4 or nothing in 8. It's all like 7.5,
the
6.5.
The album is called And a Half.
Yeah.
This band Arca, yeah. Because everything is in and a half beats.
So we do it 6.5, 7.5. It's because of me. Like, you know, and even the musician who plays with me in the band, he says, like, in the beginning, they were saying, oh, come on, like, you know, you can't do like that. Like, and people won't enjoy it. I said, no, we can do it. And then now, even if I want to do in 8, they don't want to do it. Like, you know, they got used to this. They're spoiled. Like, you know, so for me, I would say rather it's first thing comes to my mind is the rhythm, and then more percussive, like, you know, and if I want to do it, like, and I say, okay, let me do it in 15, which is 7.5. So how do I split 15? And then we have few rules. You can't just do, I mean, either the rules are simple, either natural number, even number, or odd numbers when you're making a phrase. Or when we can call it phrases, and I can call it korvai or tihai, whatever. So we have few rules, like, you know, natural number, even number, odd number. So when I'm making a phrases, for example, 15, I can split 3 5s. And that 3 5, I can say 3 5 and 7. Or 4 5 6. I can't do 3 5 8 or 3 5 6 and balance whatever. So I can't do that. I mean, it's not a question of can't. It's not the rule. And it doesn't sound like, you know, good. Like when you play 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2. It sounds like, okay, something is like, you know, going everything cool. But when you say 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Maybe, like, you know, maybe sometimes it works if it sounds good. Because we have two things in, like, you know, when Carnatic music, which you goes from the heart or which you go from your mind. So sometimes, like, the heart says it's beautiful, just go for it. So when your mind says, no, this is not logically correct, so you go with the mind. So there are two things. So, like, you know, we call it different language, like, you know, whatever it is. So for me, first thing comes out to my mind is the rhythm and then the logic. And then immediately I put the melody onto it. If maybe it's because, like, you know, I'm not a melody player. So, for example, if I choose some raga, Kirwani, or something like that. Mostly I will choose, like, you know, which is a straight ragas. Because, like, if you do it something like which is a mixed one ragas, then you have to have the essence of that ragas. You can't just do it, for the example, really go like. There should be some phrases which has to be followed. Like, you know, so we can't do that. And maybe it's not good for us to do it. So I'll take it a straight ragas, and then I compose it, and easier. And then I give it to the musician. They know the essence of that raga, and they know the swaras. Okay, just like Chariga, no. They know it, how to produce that. So this is as simple, like, you know, I'll do it.
And even the open-mindedness, right? To be able to kind of have an interest in taking Carnatic music and the roots there, but want to collaborate with musicians from around the world. Yeah. There's a certain mindset you have to have. Your father had that mindset in an era that maybe not too many people were doing things like that. Okay. Shakti, that group was a pioneering group for Indian classical music and for people like Zakirji and your father. So did he, how did he meet John McLaughlin. Oh, and how did that happen? And did he play with any other people in that time period? That's a good
question. Like, you know, actually, when you asked me about that, I have to say before that, it was a tough time for my dad, but not for me. Because when in 72, I born in 72, and then Shakti was already on. So the first music which I heard, like, you know, that was Shakti. Because when my dad comes out from the tour, he always record. Still, he does it. So he record, he keeps, still he has that cassette player, like, you know, he records on the concert every, because he says, record it and then hear it and you learn the mistake. Whatever the mistake you made it, just like, you know, clear it up. Like, you know, every, and he says, you can't play without mistakes. Every day you play, you definitely make a mistake. So learn that mistake. So he keeps, like, you know, recording. So when he comes back, he always play it to my grandfather and to my mom and everything. Listen how I played. And so the first music I heard was Shakti. So my mind was in already, like, you know, into a world music. Okay, that's the thing. For it was easier for me, tough for my dad. So my dad was working in All India Radio, okay, in the beginning, like, you know, in 70s. All India, you know, working in All India Radio, it's a government job. It's a fixed pay, like, you know, monthly salary. After they retire, they get this money, like, you know, until, like, you know, their life, and then it goes to a family, everything. So he wants to make sure, because he knows his father, I mean, like my grandfather, who struggled a lot for everyday food. So he knows that, okay, that's, I don't want to do it. So if I have a government job, I'm safe. So he gets a good salary, and then also he can play a few concerts, whatever. So his life was, like, you know, fixed. No problem. Life was going cool. And Shakti, talking about Shakti, that's a huge story, but to make it shorter, John went to Ali Akbar Khan Sahab school to learn singing, okay? And then he met Zakir Bhai. So he said, I wanted to learn singing. And Zakir Bhai said, okay, you come to my house, I'll teach you singing. So he went to Zakir Bhai's house, and then he saw tabla. Oh, are you a tabla player? Yeah, basically I'm a tabla player, but I sing. Said, no, why don't we jam? So they jammed it together. So that's how they meet, okay? And John knows Ramanath Raghavan, the Mrudangam player, used to live in Brooklyn, actually. So he knows him from New York, like, you know, so he learned some conical from him only. Then they said, okay, we play something together. So you are tabla, then I'll bring Ramnath Raghavan from New York, so who plays Mrudangam. Then he says, my cousin is El Shankar. He's a violin player. So they got him on board. So then when El Shankar got in, John was so happy to play with him, because everyone knows about him. So, like, such a legendary violin player. And then his concept is also world music. So they started playing, and then concert, they practiced, and then they did it. John felt it like Mrudangam and tabla, similar sound. Like, you know, it's almost like nearby. Like, and sometimes even Mrudangam won't be heard, because it's a mid octave and tabla is a top octave. Tabla can go well with the pakawaj, which is a lower octave. So that's the three different tone from our country, you know it. So he wanted something new. That time, my dad used to play with a trio like El Shankar, El Subramaniam, and El Vaidyanathan. So they came. John came to Chennai to, like, you know, to learn some more. And he was a student of Dr. Ramanathan, the singer, who trained a lot of musicians, who is not that famous, but he was a student of him, and he was a student of Veena Balachandran. So John has, like, you know, oh yeah. That's how he got, like, you know, all bending. If you see it in old Shakti, he played, he goes in more. It's from Veena Balachandran. So that was the thing. Like, you know, he came in. He was playing a tanpura. Just imagine John McLaughlin playing a tanpura for trio. El Shankar, El Vaidyanathan, El Subramaniam. Palagat Mani here and my dad. And Palagat Mani here and Zakir Bhai. That's like, you know, that was a, John told me personally, like, you know, John G said, this was my best tour, like, you know, playing tanpura, and what a concert. Just imagine, like, you know, the already he's like a star, like, you know, he's a father of jazz, like, you know, and Mahavishnu was so big, and then he comes to Chennai and playing tanpura for this trio. And then, so he said, okay, what do I do, like, you know, to replace the Mrudangam? Shankar said, Viku is the correct thing. So then he called up, Viku, can you come to my place and bring your gadam? And I said, okay, Shankar. Shankar and my dad, like, they're very close. So my grandfather also went with him. And John was sitting and said, okay, just they jammed it. And then for John G, like, you know, it sounded great. Like, you know, and he says he has a groove. Like, you know, that's the thing. Which is like, you know, Westerners like it. If you have a groove, they go for it. So he loved the groove, and he said, okay, Viku, here is the option. You wanted to come to New York, and you have to stay with me for 2 years. And we have to practice. We have to do all those stuff, everything. That was it.
That was a two-year
like, ramp-up. Exactly. But my father said no. Because I won't get permission in my job. Like, you know, all day, every day, they won't allow me to go. For 2 years, what do? I lose my job. You decide and come back to me. So he went back home. My grandfather said, throw the job. Go with him. I said, no. You don't know. This is like, if I lose this job, like, you know, because this might even work for a while, but job is like confirmed. My grandfather said, no. I'm telling you, I'm your guru. Throw this one, go. You won't believe it. My dad went and gave a, like, you know, letter and said, I'm leaving. I don't want this job. He was crying. He said, like, but he was forced. He can't do it because he's guru. So he was saying resignation letter to the government. I said, I'm resigning my job. And they are happy because there are a lot of gut employees who wants to come in, like, you know, because when my dad is out. So he gave a resignation letter and then he went. And then he stayed 1 year just practicing with the group. They were in Manhattan. Like, you know, my dad stayed here for 2 years. Just like, you know, every day it's like office. Monday to Friday. Morning 10 to 5. It's like an office job. Just to practice. Yeah. And he was paid. My dad was paid for that. Okay. So, that's one thing. Like, you know, how to be, like, you know, when you're forming up a group. Like, you know, that's the way to do it. Like, you know, they just practiced a year. Just making music and then playing, recording and everything. Then they started touring. And Shakti, everyone knows it. Like, you know, it was a bang. And then they were an opening act for Weather Report. But imagine, they don't want to stop this group. Like, you know, even sometimes Weather Report said, no, better you guys, like, you know, you're better than us. Like, you know, going great. So they were opening for Weather Report, Shakti. So Shakti became a big. And my dad got a different level, like, you know, even now he's things like, you know, always my grandfather is correct. Like, you know, if just imagine if he stayed in the radio, he would have just sit somewhere else. But now Ghatam become big and it's all like, you know, so that's the story.
Wow. I mean, there's so many amazing and important parts of that story. For me, the the part that's hitting home the most is just that they spent a year of just practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it seems like magic when Shakti plays, or you remember Shakti plays. You don't know how is this possible? How do human beings do this? And why do I bother? You know, but that answers some of the mystery.
Yeah, it is. Even like when I started a band, Arka, we practiced for 6 months. This is the condition when I started this band. I said, no, you have to, like, you know, forget about making music. We already made the music, but we have to practice. So they come to my studio, practice. Like, but we couldn't do it every day. We did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's it. So we practiced for 6 months. So that's where you learn. It's not just like you know it. I have to know you. It's not that I have to know me. First, I have to know you. Then we both have to know him. Then we three have to know him. And then we all have to know everyone. Then it's because we didn't born together. So, but every musician is a brother. Like, they're brotherhood. Like, you know, but you have to know each other. So that's the back point of that. Like, you know, doing more rehearsals. It's like question of like, how do you do it? It's like, you know, when we do it, like sometimes, like, you know, when we rehearse, we play the head and short solos. No, play the full solo. Just play like a concert. That's how we have to practice. We always in the practice, if you see it, they don't play much solo. They just play the head. And then they get, okay, we get the heads. No, forget about the head. Because that's going to be just like, you know, couple of minutes. Or maybe a minute. But the solo, that's where I have to understand you. I have to understand what you're talking. And what you wanted to say. What's your mind. And how you build the story. The solo is the story telling. Like, you know. And I'm saying about the this, that, whatever, about the raga. Like, you know, or about the scale, whatever. But before that, to react with you, because you're saying a story to people, like we are the people, like, you know, standing behind you saying yes, no, whatever, like, you know, it's like we have a kind of a storytelling in South India. It is like that, but I have to know what you're saying. Even though I know I'm just giving straight the groove, but If I know what I'm talking, like, you know, if I go with you, people will love it. So that is more important when you be practice. Play full. Like, play a lot of solos. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about the types of music that, like, actually kind of baffle you. Are there some types of world music where you just are amazed of like, a totally rhythmic concept that's almost out of... I don't know if you could name them, you know, like when I hear like the music of the Pygmies, I don't know if you've heard this kind of mm-hmm. music. Mm-hmm. It's such another thing that I don't yeah. know. I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Is there types of music that you feel like?
A lot. I would say Planet Drum.
Planet Drum?
Yeah.
That album.
Yeah. So that's the, again, like the rock drummer, Mickey Hart.
Yeah.
Who started that. And then he gathered from different part of the world. And then he put it in. So my father was there. Zakir Bhai was there.
Right.
Like, you know, from Africa. So they're like, you know, yep. beautiful band. And then it's a different ideas and different culture in one stage.
Yes.
So that's the greatest album.
It is, you know? The greatest album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that. Like, you know, see, for me, I would say like every music, everyone is inspiring. I can't say, oh, I don't know him, so I don't know this music. It can't be inspired. No. Even when I'm sitting here, you, I'm just waiting. Like, you know, I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by him. I'm inspired by him. Even I can be inspired about, like, you know, the instrument. I never see my instrument as an object. I always see that has a soul. So even when you gave me this, yeah. immediately I wanted to talk with this. That's why, like, you know, I wanted to play, and then I wanted to have something with him. So I don't feel this like an object. This is like something each wants to convey. Because, see, just imagine there was some harmonium is here, there are some guitar. You didn't give me this. You give me this. Right. And this wanted to meet me. It's not you. This instrument says, like, somebody's coming to touch me. So which, like, you know, pass on to your mind and you image. Because you didn't give me the... Because this is supposed to be a melodic instrument, even though it's a percussive. Like, yeah. piano, it's a percussive instrument, but... You have to know the melody to play that instrument, right? I know no drummer can just go and play, but maybe we can just hit it, but yeah. not melodically, even though it's a percussive instrument. So this is a percussive instrument, but you didn't think about that. You just gave it to me.
Yeah.
So this is saying it to your mind, saying, okay, there is a person who is coming and he wants, like, and I want to convey something to him, and then he might be understanding what I'm saying and he wants to touch me. It is like that.
Wow.
So it has to be inspired, like, you know, so this instrument... inspiring me, and I might have inspired this, and this is not an object. Any instrument, it's not an object, it's in a soul, which has a soul inside. Just imagine, like, if you hit on the door, there is some sound is coming, but when you hit it in the instrument, there are a lot of sound, beautiful sounds are coming. If you don't have your instrument, like, even though for me the konokol, see, for example, I forgot to bring the ganjira, but still I can do it with the konokol, but that's also the sound. So there is something in that. Like, you can't just explain this, but there is some soul in every instrument. And it is there. Otherwise, like, okay, if you are a guitarist, can you just play guitar without your instrument? No, you can't express. So you need something. And that's not an object. Because the mind, whatever you're thinking, that's conveyed to the audience. That's the one which goes to the audience, to the heart, and then make you, wow, what is that? It's because of that instrument. So it has some soul. So that will convey something. So I always feel it. Like, when I touch my ganjira, it says, like, okay, today I'm going to say like this. Today I'm going to convey like this. Just imagine if that conveys in the wrong way. That's what happens when you make a mistake. Your mind says to play that, but your hand goes into instrument, but it comes out something wrong. It means that, like, you know, the connection somewhere, it's wrong.
Right.
It's not your mind. It's not your thing. It's not. It's like everything together. Your instrument, your hand, your mind, your heart, everything goes together. So it's like that. It's a different world. It's a different world.
Well, maybe we should pick up one of these instruments and
yeah.
play with it.
Exactly. Let me, because this sure. was really waiting for me. Like, okay. You know, as I was saying it, like, because when you said, like, even I can tune this, I don't know how, like, you know, I can't tune it. But I says, okay, whatever it conveys, like, I will just do it, like.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
From that standpoint, the Gatam, you can play lower pitches to higher pitches, and you kind of play with that dynamic.
That's what it is.
We saw that.
That's what it is. Very like, cool. And as I was saying it, I don't know this instrument before. I know a few, like, you know, which is similar kind of a thing, but I don't know this instrument. And you, like, you know, it's written somewhere. Like, you know, and I get in it. I took my music, which I have learned it. At the same time, what I have learned it through different people, like a different journey. That's what we call it, world music. So everything, when I see it, everything comes in my mind, and then I just do something. That's it.
Right. It's like that. For those listening at home, it's kind of like a small hung drum.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what we would call this drum specifically. But actually, just one quick question. Are there any other world musicians right now that you play with that really excite you, or that you've worked with, or that you want to work with maybe?
Oh, that's a lot. Like, you know, but whom I have always inspired is Zakir Bhai, Ustad Zakir Hussain. Like, you know, he is, like, you know, I'm since like 24 years I'm playing with him, 20 years maybe, no, 25, whatever. 1990 I joined him, playing with him until now. Even last week I played with him. Every time when I play with him, it's always a new, it's like coming into New York. Like, you know, I've been to New York so many times, when I walk in, it looks new. Like, you know, Times Square, I can spend my whole day just sitting in Times Square, like watching it. It's like that, Zakir Bhai. I can just sit and watch him. And even though he plays, like, you know, something which I already know it, but it sounds new to me. So this is because, like, the concept which he is approaching it, like a world music. It's like, you know, he has some kind of a structure when he plays in a solo in a world music style. Like, you know, he established like that, and then gets you, and then say some jokes, and then, like, you know, to impress you at the same time, some climax. It's like, you know, everything is in this solo. So that makes me, like, you know, which is really inspiring a lot. Like, you know, and if you ask me whom I wanted to play with, like, you know, one of my favorite guitarists, but I think he's not anymore here, which is Paco de Lucía.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's my favorite. Of course, like John McLaughlin, whom I play with a lot. Like, you know, he's my, he's like my family. He always says, he still has a photo. When I went to his house, he said, come on. I started playing with him, okay? So he said, come. So he took me to his library, and there was a photo. Like, you know, he's sitting in my house with my grandfather. I'm sitting in his lap when I was a kid.
Wow.
Just imagine. And I'm sitting on stage with him and playing. So that's a dream, whatever. That's, but I wanted to play with Paco de Lucía, like, you know, but I can't do it.
When they get away.
Maybe next life.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow, and is it true that you're also involved with films as well?
That's, oh yeah, part of, I your compose. Life. It's like, it's not like full time I do it, because it eats a time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a live performer, and I wanted to teach. That's my motive. But it's like a passion, and it's also like, you know, it's a different feeling. It's like taking a vacation in Venice, or like, you know, somewhere. You just go, something happens. So it is like that for me. So I do compose, and I've done like maybe 7 movies in Tamil, or Tamil, and it's all South Indian movies. So I've done it, and I've done a percussion rhythm, full rhythm for the Hollywood movies like Meera Nair's Monsoon Wedding, Vanity Fair, Kama Sutra, and recently Life of Pi for Michael Daly. So I've done the full rhythm session for that.
Great. Yeah. Wow. All right. So anything exciting coming up that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, I'm doing a workshop right now in a school, East Indian Music. That's what it's happening today, yesterday. I mean, I don't know when it's going to be on that, yeah. But I'm just saying, first and second. And third, we are playing together with one of the great family tradition who is still keeping it on. It's like Avirudh Sharma from Queens. And he plays great tabla. And his father runs a school, beautiful school. And it's like, you know, maybe 200 students. And when I entered it, there were like 10 kids playing harmonium together like a lehra. It sounded to me like, you know, wow, that's amazing. And they're all like, you know, Indians born in America and kids. And there was a two kid who inspired me a lot, and I told him, if you allow me, I will take him. And I want to teach him. Because this guy is like, you know, that's what we needed. To spread, to like, you know, to give my thing to him and then he will take it. So that's what we're looking. And every teacher will wait for a good student. It's always like, you know, it's like a one thing. Even if you get two, you want more. It's like that. So I'm doing a workshop there. And then also I'm playing with Samit Chatterjee on the 4th. And then I'm playing with Lenny Sten on 55th bar on the 5th. And I'm going to be here on 6th and 7th. And when I'm going to keep coming and going, like, you know, and because I really wanted to spread this music, the concept. It's not like it's not just the Indian music. It's a concept of Indian rhythm. You learn it and then you put it in your music. So that's my basic criteria of doing this. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to establish this. So I'm going to come very often to New York and to America, but of course to New York too. So September, October, I'll be here again. And then I'll be doing a private lessons. And also I'm giving a Skype lessons. And I'm planning to start a school. So it's called Viku Vinayakram School of World Rhythm Concept.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So much to look forward to. We'll be in touch. And I'm sure our fans will be seeing you and hopefully taking some classes. Any last words, Arun? Anything else?
Thank you very much for being here. We're so happy to have to listen to you speak about your background and about rhythm in general. Mm-hmm. We look forward to your trip here in September, October.
I think
Brooklyn Ragamasa specifically is looking forward to having you join us and being involved. So thanks again.
Thank you, Arun, and thank you, David. And I'm so happy, and because like sometimes, like, you know, we need a good musician, Indian musician, to represent outside, and that is one is Harun. Like, you know, he's not just a musician; he's an amazing musician, and I'm so happy and glad because I got a chance to hear and play with him. Like, you know, and I've learned something when we played together, because he was so calm. He didn't like he just played a solo, kick whatever. He just flied, and then I was watching him when I'm playing it, and he's very cool, like, you know. Okay, you give me a place, I'll play. If you don't give me, okay. That's how I've learned it. It's nice, like, because every time any musician want to impress either an audience or a group, for example, if I get a chance to play with one group, new group, I will just go impress, and I say, make sure that they call me every time. Like, you know, that kind of a mentality for the musicians, right? I've learned that from him. Like, and he doesn't care. Okay, it's my time now. Maybe it might happen, it might not happen. Everyone, like, and everything is decided by God. So that I have learned from him. So such a great musician. Like, you know, so every day meeting a musician, you learn. If your mind is open to learn. My dad always says, like, you know, don't ever think you have done. No. When you go and meet some musician, when you go to people, just listen for a while, then you might learn something. So what I have learned from him is that. Like, you know, what's cool? Because I've seen the same mentality with Mandolin Yu Srinivas, who is no more now. He's such a... He's direct son of God. Like, you know, so he's like that. He's like that. Very cool, like, you know. He says, why I have to prove that I'm great? Why? Because I'm not great. Just listen to the second word. First thing is when he says, why I have to prove I'm great, you mean that what kind of a mentality you have, like, you know, why you have to prove, means like you have more confident of you. The second word comes out in his mouth is say, because I'm not great. Wow, that's where you said first, you know what the sentence which is coming out from his mouth, he said, because I'm not great, God is great. So he knows, just forget about that, like, you know, stayed in my heart whenever I go and say, why I have to prove, because I'm not great. And I don't deserve anything. Because we are like a key, like, you know, keyed toy. God knows it. Like, you know, when to screw it up. And then, like, you know, this is the time. You stop. Again, you have to do it. If I don't like, I won't do it. I just keep you like idle. So it's like that. So this man has that feeling. Which is really, really good. Because then you have a mind to learn. If you have a softer corner, then you will learn. If you said no, means like you won't learn. So that I have learned from it. So after that moment, I started working on it. Like, you know, I just keep it cool. Okay, listen. It will come. Wait. Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Words to live by. Thank you so much, V. Savaganesh. We'll be hearing a lot more from him soon. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for this week's podcast. Thanks. Impressive. You learned a lot if you got this far. Many thanks to Vaisalva Ganesh. We heard his album Sukha is the one that we heard a lot of, and also we heard excerpts from the Remember Shakti album. That was the stuff with the burning guitar of the master, John McLaughlin. So yeah, be good. We've got so much more music to share, and hope to see you at one of the concerts. Raga Massive is every Wednesday at Pioneer Works this month, all through April. Peace.